Triple M Rocks Sunday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances. 1, 2, 3, 4. Never miss a minute of the footy.
Too good. Oh, mate.
Download the Triple M NRL app and listen anywhere.
Hallelujah.
This is Sunday Triple M NRL.
And we are doing it from live in front of ANZ Stadium. Kickoff 7:30 tonight now. We've just been told Channel 9 has decided to push it back from the 7:15 advertised start. So it's 15 minutes later. 7:30 will
cha-ching.
Be kicked.
They've got to make all the cream, Tane. That's where the top advertising dollar comes into it. So that's the reason why they pushed it back. No two ways about it.
I had a shocker. I've broken my glasses.
You're a big game player.
Look at this.
It's just soldiering on.
Such a good look, isn't it?
Oh, gee, I wish you were on the back page right now.
You can't tell they're broken, Tony.
I'm wearing these on Tuesday night on telly. Trust me. There we go. I'm going to struggle this out. Everybody's wobbling all over
the place. No one can notice, Tony.
Ben Hannon is going to join us. Paul Gallen is also going to join us very shortly to give us their take. Benny Hannon, of course, is one of the retiring players who will be honoured inside this stadium before the main game. Dean Pay is just a quick around the panel. I want to have a quick chat with you. He's been out and about talking about taking over from the Bulldogs. The whole idea of somebody who is from the Bull within coaching them seems to be so important.
Yeah, the biggest gripe, Tony, amongst some of the champion retired Bulldogs over the course of the last three or four seasons under Desi Hasler has been that they've lost their DNA. They've gone away from that family club culture that they enjoyed so much success with, and that Peter Bullfrog Moore essentially started back in the 1970s. So Dean Pay is a brilliant appointment in that respect. He won a premiership with the club in 1995. He's a country bloke, so what you see is what you get. He's from Dubbo. I think he's done a great tutelage under Ricky Stewart, Craig Bellamy, and also a little bit with Kevvy Wilders overseas. I just liked what he said at his opening press conference. He wants to put the Canterbury Bankstown back in the Bulldogs, so he wants them to be all about defence. He wants them to have a little bit of Triple MAD about the way that they play their football. And look, it might surprise some people, but Dean is renowned as actually been a really sharp attacking mind when it comes to footy as well. So I think he'll do a great job.
Well, even as a player, you know, he was tough and, you know, he was uncompromising. But also, I think he's done a good job with those young New South Wales players, those junior teams over the last couple of years. So Dino will be great, I think. But it's about getting that management skill across too. You know, it's about managing your players and being a mentor. So I reckon it's a good appointment. But well done to Jim Dimmick also. Like, he's an assistant there. He's certainly done his apprenticeship, Jim Dimmick.
Hopefully Jimmy stays because they both went for the role, but Jimmy's been such an important part of that Bulldogs club for so long now that, yeah, hopefully Jimmy will also stay as well. And those two who won a premiership together in 95, they'll stay together.
Speaking of staying together, joining the panel on my right, two of the greats here, Ben Hannett joined us, Paul Gallen joined us. Ben Hannett, of course, got the job done twice in terms of premierships, once for the Broncos and just a couple of years ago with the Cowboys. Welcome, my friend.
Oh, it's great to be here. Great to see my old team go around. And, mate, who would have thought? 34 players this year and they're here at the big dance.
Well, did you give it any thought during the year that they would be there, though?
Honestly, no. Yeah. I don't think so. And I think a big credit's got to go to the coach there for the way he made his team believe in the process. And, mate, to be able to do this and be so consistent for the last 3 years, make a grand final, win it, then become one game short, and then be there again using 34 players, that shows you that team's well coached. They believe the plan, they stick to the process, and they're getting the job done.
Paul Garland, welcome.
Hey, how are you?
Oh, I'm very well, thank you. You've had a busy week.
Oh, really busy, I know. I've been at every event you've been at. You must be on a fortune, honestly. How much money do you earn? Because I've got to be honest with you, every event I went to, I'd never got an earn. I was all about love. And just I dare say you were there getting paid.
No, mate, no.
All starts and fallouts
for love.
You didn't even buy me a drink.
Drinks were free from me. How are you feeling a year on? Obviously, you wish you were in there getting ready for a grand final.
Yeah, without a doubt, I'm sure Benny will be able to back this. So once you get that success, you just want it more and more. And, you know, it is harder to come by because every other team rises against you every single week. And for some reason, the Sharks this year, we just didn't quite click like we did last year. We showed in certain games, you know, Melbourne a couple of times, the Roosters when we played then, that we can beat anyone on our day when we put it together, but just didn't do it consistently enough whatsoever. And you know, unfortunately we're not here, but it is a bit of a sombre feeling not being here today. And I know all the boys feel the same way on the WhatsApp today. We're all sort of chatting about it, but You know, there's two good sides here today. I'm hoping for a really good game.
The PNG Hunters have just gone in to score in the state championship, 42-6 to score with the conversion to come. Ben Hannett, for you, the week, obviously, as the retiring player, you'll get to do the lap of honour. How's it been?
It's been a great week. It's all about transitioning into the real world. And you know, I've been lucky enough to step straight into my new role doing Breakfast Radio, which is great. But the great thing is for the partners as well. They bring them down here. They make sure that they transition well as well, knowing that, you know, unfortunately, we're home more often. And this new role of what we're doing, it's not just us as players. It's our partners and our kids. It's very important to make sure that we all transition well.
And you've got plenty of them.
We've got plenty, yeah. Six of them.
How many have you got?
Six. Six kids at the moment, so and probably counting.
Well, yeah. At the moment.
Are you counting? You're going to go again? I've got three and one on the way, and she's saying no way.
I can't confirm or deny.
She's
but
pregnant.
Maybe.
She's pregnant.
Maybe.
Exclusive on Triple M, seven kids. Benny Hannett, oh, my God.
You know there are ways of stopping that happening, don't
you? Yeah, mate. Mate, boys, you know when you get that tap on the shoulder, mate, you do what you're told. You do what you're told.
Oh, wow.
We have so much to get through. We'll drill down further into this game. We'll hear from Supercoach Paul Green very shortly as well. We've been playing you some of the songs that have inspired the grand finalists. Let's have a listen to what made at work for Jamie Sowell.
So the song I was listening to all the way through the final series in 2010 and grand final day was Eminem, Not Afraid.
I'm not afraid.
Yeah.
I'm not
afraid. It's been a ride.
It was just a really good pump-up song that somehow took me out of the nervousness of the situation and just put me into listening to those lyrics and just the way, how passionate he sung and how lyrically genius he is, and just concentrate on that, and then my footy just sort of rolled off the back of that.
You can try and read my lyrics off of this paper before I lay them, but you won't take the sting out these words before I say them, cause ain't no way I'ma let you stop me from causing mayhem. When I say I'ma do something, I do it. I don't give a damn what you think, I'm doing this for me. So the world, feed it beans, it's gassed up. If things are stopping me, I'ma be what I set out to be. Without a doubt, undoubtedly, and all those who look down on me, I'm tearing down your balcony. Knowing fans are bust, don't try to ask him why, how can he? From infinite down to the last relapse album, he's still sitting, whether he's on salary, paid hourly, until he bows out or he sits his bowels out of him. Whichever comes first, for better or worse, he's married to the game, like a for Christmas, his gift is a curse. Forget the earth, he's got the urge to pull his dick from the dirt and f*** the whole universe. I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been.
So I'm actually listening to the song all the way through the final series and then on the bus, and I made it a conscious effort to have it as my last song before I took my headphones off. I like to get ready early, so yeah, for me on the bus I'd listen to it and then a couple more songs in the dressing room, and then just being able to sit back, and it just got me pumped up, and even thinking about listening to it, it's just, it brings back so many good memories. And I think any time a song like that really stays with you, you can just think back to those times, and whether it be sometimes good or bad, but for me on grand final day in 2010 it was very good. So that was the last song I listened to, got me pumped up and ready to go, and went out there and did the business.
Not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
I really enjoyed listening to that song. It was something that stayed with me throughout the final series, and every time I hear it now, I think back to 2010, that magical time, and also, you know, winning the grand final and how much it meant to me and how proud I was to be able to win a grand final. And that song holds special recognition within my history at the Dragons.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Let me know that
Triple M rocks the NRL. The Dragons lawyers, protecting your future.
What's great about the grand final is that while the match has its stars,
any of the 34 players can be the hero.
Any of the 34 can come up with the signature play.
I'm excited now. I get goosebumps when the sides run out. The fans' reaction gives you the goosebumps.
And to think some young boy or young girl is about to watch or listen to their first grand final.
First grand final I watched as a kid was 1977 grand final, which was the St George Dragons up against the Parramatta Eels, which of course went to a replay.
I'd have to say I was a bit of a Tigers fan when I was growing up. The 89 grand final, I followed the Tigers all through that year, and I think they were underdogs, the Tigers going in, but I really believed they could win it, and I actually felt like I played that grand final with them. It affected you like that in your lounge room. To lose that, I remember being really gutted, kind of getting an inkling of what it must have meant for those players. It just all builds up, you know, they're all building blocks to the moment if you get a chance at it.
First grand final I ever watched as a kid, it was the replay of a grand final. They ended up replaying the St George and Parramatta grand final, and that was kind of my earliest memories of grand finals.
Well, I was a rugby league head from very, very early on, but I was also a huge Manly supporter. I guess my first real recollection, I'm sure I watched grand finals when I was younger, but in the mid-70s, when Manly won a grand final, because I was such a Manly fan and they were successful that day, and I was living in Wagga and I'm listening to it on the radio and then watching it on television, it had a profound effect on me because I wanted to be a part of it. I wanted to do that one day. But I'll never forget the big Englishman, Phil Lowe, being an integral part of scoring the crucial try in that grand final in the mid-70s.
So who's going to be the hero?
Two very powerful clubs with a huge fan base that are going to be there screaming at the top of their lungs.
It could be anyone.
I think it's going to be a lot of goosebumps out.
Triple M NRL Primetime. Thanks to Fox League. The only place to get Fox League is on Foxtel. Join today.
For Bryden's Lawyers, protecting your future. This is Sunday Triple M NRL.
The time for talk is over.
With Paul Kent, Gordon Tallis, Ryan Girdler and Anthony Maroon.
Oh, the bunker's getting an absolute flogging today.
Triple M rocks the footy.
Lovely to have your company. We are outside ANZ Stadium, all building towards kickoff. Melbourne Storm taking on the North Queensland Cowboys. James Hooper, Tony Squires with you, but we've been joined by a couple of legends. Ben Hannett, of course, who was running around for the Cowboys just a couple of years ago when they won their maiden premiership. And Paul Gallen, who was there last year on this day for the historic breakthrough win for the Cronulla Sharks. Before we get into some more detail, gentlemen, on both of those things, back a winner and share your grand final tip with your mates via UBet's all-new BetShare. Remember, gamble responsibly. Nick Curry is with us right now from UBet. G'day, Nick.
Evening, Tony. Evening, listeners.
All right. What are the punters thinking about this the game this evening?
Yeah, look, massive betting game. And Melbourne Storm, all of the big money is for them. Just in the last hour or so, we've taken a couple of bets of $30,000. The Storm into $1.31. The Cowboys, as a result, out to $3.60. Line set at 9.5 tonight, and there is relentless support, guys, for the Storm to cover that 9.5 handicap at $1.90. And the game total here is 36. Melbourne Storm 13+ is the most popular home with margin punters at 225, backed off the map.
What about the first try scorer market, Nick? You got some great flyers there. Josh Adokar, Suliasi Vunivalu, Kyle Felt, all noted first try scorers. Who's the favourite there?
They are, Hoops. The favourite is Suliasi Vunivalu at $6.50, but there's been more money bet on Josh Adokar at this stage, $7. He has scored the first try twice during the finals for Melbourne, got punters a bit of cash there, and they're sticking with him tonight, Josh Adokar at $7. Billy Slade at $11, Will Chambers is $13, and the other player you mentioned there, Kyle Felt, $13. But one of the more popular bet types on grand final day is the first try scorer one.
And Nick, Dustin Martin did the job in the AFL, doubled up the Brownlow into the Norm Smith medal. What about the Clive Churchill? Can Cameron Smith do the double of the Dally M and the Clive?
Yeah, look, the Bunny says he will. That was the first time it's ever happened in the AFL. It's happened twice before in the NRL, most recently JT. Punters reckon Cameron Smith will be able to do it. He's $2.75 in from $3, best backed by a long way to take home the Clive Churchill medal. Cooper Cronk's $5. Michael Morgan's 8 into 7 just now. Billy Slater's 8. A good move late here for Cameron Munster, $10 into 8. Bit of smart money coming in for the Storm 5/8. And Jason Taumalolo was $11 into 9.
Nick Curry, thanks so much. Back a winner. Share your grand final tip with your mates via UBet. It's all new BetShare. Remember, gamble responsibly. Have you got Cameron Smith in your sights in terms of the Clive Churchill medal, Ben Hannett?
Oh, definitely. If Melbourne win the match, I think the way they're going to win it's through him. The way he's going to control the ruck, control their team, he's definitely, for me, the one to pick.
Go.
Yeah, without a doubt. But the one I did think about earlier in the week was Munster. Yeah. He's a good player. He's the next, I'm not going to say the next superstar because he's a superstar, but he's a really, really good player. And it does not surprise me at all that he's been backed in. And maybe a couple of bucks on Billy Slater wouldn't go astray either.
Indeed. Talk us, just let's go back 1 year, Paul Gallen, to when you were here. How are you in the lead up around this time before running out into that field?
When I get to the ground, I'm fine. It's the time I leave my house until I get to the ground where I'm stressed and a bit on edge and a bit tense. And I still remember driving into the stadium when we got down here, and my best mate, been best mates since 6 years old, texted me and said, "Don't forget when you win to tell him to turn the porch light out." And I was so angry at him because I'm real superstitious about things like that. And I just deleted the text message straight away. And thankfully we did win. And obviously I got to say that line. But once I got here, the players would probably be here around now. They probably would have got here about 5:15. And they'd be in the dressing room now just relaxing and starting to limber up a little bit and get strapped.
Benny, you've been in that dressing room, that Cowboys dressing room, the last time they got the job done. What sort of characters are in there? Well, I said earlier that Jason Taumalolo, according to the newspapers today, it's all about PlayStation and sleeping. He seems like he's fairly, casual.
Very casual. And the work's done now. It's all done. And the great thing, you can tell Greener keeps pushing. Everyone's written us off. Everyone's written off. So for them, they know their role. They're excited. I think once you get to the ground, like Galen said, he is, mate, you know what your job is. You're excited. Now it's game time. Now it's time to get the job done. And we've been waiting all week for this. And when you're in those sheds, it's a time where you just reflect. You take it all in. And you just can't wait. The smell of the shed, all those things, it just kick in. And you can't wait to get out there.
And as you said, you know your role at this stage. And if you don't know your role at this stage, you're in some trouble. But being in a grand final, there's no doubt both sides, every player knows their role and what they've got to do. But one thing I'm interested to see how the Cowboys react today. The last 3 weeks, Paul Green has done an enormous job of taking pressure off them and putting all the pressure on the other side. And I agree there's probably more pressure on Melbourne today, but once you get to a grand final, you can't say there's nothing to lose.
Yep.
You're in a grand final, there's everything to lose. It is the biggest stage. You've got millions of people watching, 80,000 people watching you. You want to go out and you want to deliver your best game. And, I'm interested to see how the Cowboys react to it today.
But going into a game, Gal, have you ever gone in a game thinking, even if you're underdogs, you honestly think you're going to lose? I know I've never been in a game where I thought I'm not going to win. All 17 players for both teams that take the field will be thinking, mate, there's no way I'm going to lose this.
Yeah, I agree without a doubt, but I'm just talking publicly the way Paul Green's been able to take all the pressure off them and talk about their injuries and their big guns being out, and they've got their nothing-to-lose mentality, whereas today everything's on the line. They've proven they're a good enough side to be here. So I think there'll be a little bit more pressure on each player. But I do agree with you. They're all going to come in knowing their role and ready to go.
Mm. All right. Triple M Rock in the grand final. We've got plenty as we drill down a little bit deeper when we come back after this.
Another Triple M NRL grand final controversy.
The 1999 penalty try, I remember exactly where I was, sitting next to my stepfather in a Dragons jersey because he's a massive Dragons fan. When the ball goes up and you see Jamie Ansko come across, and he's just thinking to himself, that's a penalty try straight away.
Kamali puts the kick over the cross. There's a try coming. Craig Smith has put it down. Has he put it down legally?
Oh,
was he onside?
Well, hang on.
Did he get it down?
What about the high tackle from Ansko?
Here we go. He gets the ball first, gets hit around the head, and drops the football. What to do? What does the video ref do? Does he award a penalty try?
Well, can you be absolutely certain that Craig Smith would have scored?
Oh, he's around the throat.
Yeah, that's a penalty try.
I think you'll find that Bill Harrigan is about to make one of the biggest calls ever been made in 100 years of rugby league.
I think Billy got that one right. The Storm and the Dragons. It had to be a penalty try. He had no other option there. It was brave. Billy showing some intestinal fortitude, but he got it right. Great call, Billy Harrigan.
Triple M rocks the NRL for Brighton's lawyers, protecting your future.
Triple M NRL primetime, thanks to Fox League. The only place to get Fox League is on Foxtel. Join today.
One, two, three, four.
Never miss a minute of the footy.
Too good. Oh, mate.
Download the Triple M NRL app and listen anywhere.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
This is Sunday Triple M NRL.
Coming to you live from outside the front of ANZ Stadium, leading up to our coverage of this grand final. Melbourne Storm taking on North Queensland Cowboys. James Hooper, Tony Squires. We are joined by Ben Hannett and Paul Gallen. Just have a look at those teams that are going to run out there, thanks to Mongrel Boots. What are you noticing, James Hooper?
Well, Tony, as always, all the team changes for Triple M are brought to you by Mongrel Boots. And look, the sides will be announced an hour before kickoff, but we are anticipating both will be 1-17 for the Cowboys. There's a lot of talk about whether Paul Green would include Matt Scott or not, but the word that we're getting is that Matt Scott won't be in the final 17. But Benny Hannett, what I wanted to ask you is the Cowboys front row, Scott Bolton and John Asiata, what a pair of unsung heroes. I think John Asiata's been playing with a busted hand. Talk to us a little bit about them.
Yeah, it's been broken for a month, and he's been continually getting out there and playing some great footy. But Scotty Bolton, he's been outstanding for the last probably 6 or 7 years. Been unnoticed, but now with these injuries that have come into the squad, he's now, leadership's now stood up. And I think he's averaging 134 metres per game. His defence is outstanding. His wrestle's great. Now, those stats are as good as Jesse Bromwich up front. So yeah, it's going to be a great battle between him, let alone when Jason Taumalolo's in the middle as well.
Tell you, you want to go even more unknown, and that's Corey Jensen. Mm. He's been unreal for them. He's a lot bigger than I thought he was, actually. I mean, played against him earlier on in the year, and we obviously got a couple of wins up against him. But in that semi-final, he came on. I think he ran over 100 metres that game as well. So he's been really good coming off the bench. The other bloke who just does his job every week is Sean Fenson. He's just a rock in the middle there. He's not making 100 metres a game, but he does not miss a tackle, and he puts his hands up for those tough runs too. So the last 3 weeks have been a great team effort from the Cowboys. Corey, I wonder, will he start today? Is he any chance of starting, do you think?
I think, I'm pretty sure he'll be starting today.
Fetson will start for Asiata. Right. That's what's happened in the past. Asiata brings a little bit more footy, off the bench. He's got very good ball skills. He's got a bit of an offload in him, whereas Sean Fenson, as I said, he's just that tough rock in the middle who just makes his tackles, does a tough, gritty work, and then obviously Asiata can come on and play with a bit of skill.
Corey Jensen would probably be the bloke who would have missed out if they'd gone with Matt Scott, you'd reckon. Right decision?
Well, I think the decision, this is my belief on this, is realistically as a player, I want Matt Scott to be going out there to do everything he can to play. I want Fenson and the boys and all the other bench players to go out there and Jensen do whatever it takes to play. That decision comes down to Greening. There's no individual more important than the team. When it comes to a grand final, the team always has to come first. Now, if Matt Scott's a right bloke with no games under his belt, we'll pick him. But obviously he's not, and the coach doesn't think that. And knowing Matt Scott and the leadership that he does bring to this team, is he knows whatever role he needs to do in that team, he'll get out there and do it.
He's 100% right there. And the only bloke who would know it is Paul Green, because the Matt Scott who would play today is not the Matt Scott we would know. He would not be the test front rower making 120, 130 metres a game and whacking blokes all day. That's just impossible to come back from a six-month layoff straight into a grand final and be that player. So, well, I spoke to a couple of the Cowboys boys at the Dally M the other night, and they said they thought that he was nowhere near playing, to be honest. So from what I got, they just said he's not near it. He was never going to play, and I think he was more named than the week before just to throw the Roosters off a little bit, which certainly worked, but it threw everyone else off this week, and Paul Green had to name him again.
Well, they say it's minimum 6 months off an ACL reconstruction. He's only just a tick right over that, that certainly wouldn't come without its risks. But, Gal, what I wanted to ask you is, in relation to this Melbourne Storm side, there's a couple of young guns in the forwards, Jordan McLean and also Dale Finucane. Mal Meninga announces a 24-man Kangaroo squad on Tuesday. Do you think if the Storm get the job done tonight, those two can really push their cases across the line?
I think McLean will be there or thereabouts. Big front rower. Obviously, Matt Scott being out, I think he's a big chance of being there. I think Dale Finucane, and there's probably just a few too many back rowers in and around that area that might get in front of him, but without a doubt, winning a grand final and playing well today is going to do his chances no harm.
Ben Hannon, I know that you've been called. You have to head inside for more official duties. You are going to have a lap of honour with the other retiring players.
Yeah, it'd be great to get out there and one last time say goodbye to all the fans. It's been an absolute privilege to lace the boots for so many years, and it's so good to do it while my old team is playing in the grand final as well.
All right, are you in the back of a car or are you just walking?
I think there's budget cuts, and I think I'm walking.
Well, congratulations on the career, and thanks so much for joining us on the show.
Thanks, boys.
There is Benny Hannett. We'll be inside. Obviously, if you're inside, give him the hugest Triple M cheer as he goes past on foot as one of those retiring players. Paul Gallen, just I want to go back for those people who, you know, you get the hair standing on the back of the neck when you think about those moments. For you last year, it's Melbourne here again. You held them out. those final seconds, that final drive that they had, they looked for all money like they were going to score that winning try.
Yeah, it was one of the toughest minutes of my life, without a doubt. And I think I've said it before. A year or two earlier, the Melbourne Storm, we led the Melbourne Storm 20-12 down at Amy Park down in Melbourne, and they beat us 22-20. And I'm talking, there was less than 2 minutes to go when we led by eight. So with a minute to go, when we're only up by 2 points, it was quite nerve-wracking. And then, of course, Jimmy Maloney, who doesn't like to tackle too much, tried to take Vunivalu's head off instead of just tackling him around the legs. Vunivalu goes straight through, and thank God our Jack Bird and Valentine Holmes are that quick. They managed to cover from one side of the field to the other. And then, of course, once the ball went to Corabidi, I felt quite comfortable because he hasn't... I don't think he's done an offload or a chip and chase in his life. But I'll tell you what, he's hard to stop. But Rick Littell is a good defender and made that tackle. And, yeah, it's just an enormous feeling. The whole day just knowing that you're playing in a grand final, the bus trip on the way here, seeing the fans line the street, getting to the stadium, just knowing that you're in a grand final, it's just an enormous... It's what you play the game for.
Gal, this time 12 months ago, the Cronulla Sharks were able to find the blueprint to beat the Melbourne Storm, to upset this absolute juggernaut of a side. If the Cowboys are going to do the same today, what are the keys? What do they need to really nail?
I think from their try line up to past halfway to the 20-metre zone, so coming out of their end, they need to move the ball a little bit. You can't run into Melbourne. You can't take one-out hit-ups into Melbourne. Three front rowers, as we know, they're the best defenders, best wrestling team in the competition. So you've got to spread the ball a little bit. And the Cowboys are good at doing that. I think the Cowboys will get from their try line up to the other end of the field. Not with these, but they'll do it quite successfully. When you get inside that 20-metre zone, you've got to go through them. It's almost the opposite. You've got to create one-on-one tackles in and around the middle and go through them. And I don't know if the Cowboys have got the big boys in the middle, bar Tomalolo, who have the power or the strength to be able to cause Melbourne too many issues in that 20-metre zone. I think they'll strip him for numbers on the edge a few times, but the thing about the Melbourne Storm, they cover each other so well, they just scramble so well. So I think the outside backs, particularly the wingers, are going to need an extra metre or two, get that ball just that metre or two earlier, to try to get the trial on. Antonio Witterstein, does he have that extra bit of pace? I'm not too sure. Kyle Felt, the other one, he has the ability to score tries from anywhere, so he can get the job done. But I really feel when they get up in that 20 metres and they've got to go through them. We saw Brisbane last week. They tried to go around them, shift the ball. They did have a chance or two, and obviously their centre didn't pass the ball once, which cost them a try, but they didn't try to go through them too often, which we obviously saw they didn't score a try.
Paul Gallen is with us. We'll drill down even further on this grand final on the other side of this break as Triple M rocks the grand final.
Triple M rocks Sunday Arvo footy for Brighton's lawyers, protecting your future.
Triple M NRL primetime, thanks to Fox League. The only place to get Fox League is on Foxtel. Join today.
One, two, three, four.
A minute of the footy.
Too good. Oh, my.
Download the Triple M NRL app and listen anywhere.
Hallelujah.
This is Sunday Triple M NRL.
Just a reminder of what's happened so far at the grand final. Manly 20 beat Parramatta 18 in the last moments of the under-20s. 20-18, a try right in the belt, converted for that 20-18 win in the state championship. The Panthers 42 have beaten the PNG Hunters 18. The Hunters came back in the back end of that second half, scored a few tries to the delight of the crowd. So that is what's happened so far as we look towards Melbourne Storm taking on the North Queensland Cowboys in the big one. We'll chat with North Queensland coach Paul Green very shortly. Before then, we were with Paul Gallen just again talking about what's going on in that over in those dressing rooms. Jason Tamalolo,
good player, isn't he?
Yeah,
he look, he's got to go from the start today for mine. If the Cowboys are any chance, I think the Storm will win, but if the Cowboys are any chance, they need to get in front and they need Tamalolo to go from the start. I watched him pretty closely because he's such an impressive player. I think he's in the top two or three players in the game. But he seems to wait to the second half a bit until he starts to really go. And he brings his Cowboys side home with a wet sail. But with the Melbourne Storm, if they get in front, they just shut the game down. So I want to see him rip and tear from the opening whistle.
Gal, another thing that the Sharks did outstandingly well this time last year was nullify the influence of Cooper Cronk. What's the secret for the Cowboys today to try and really rattle him and put him off his game? Because that's what Cronulla did so well.
Yeah, inside pressure. You need to come from the inside and you need to get to him quick and you need to hit him. And as much as Andrew Johns hates it and has been whinging about it for a year, Melbourne Storm invented that and that's what they need to do today, the Cowboys. And that will either be Gavin Cooper or Ethan Lowe. I'm not sure which side of the field they're going to play on, but that will be them. It'll be their job. They need to get to him quickly and cut down as much time as he can. But the other thing they need to do as well is hammer. They need to target Cameron Smith. Cameron Smith wants to be involved in big games. He'll kick chase and he'll run. When he kicks chase, these blokes, Lachlan Coote's not that big a man, but Kyle Felt and Antonio Winterstein, they need to pick him out like Jack Bird and Valentine Holmes did last year, and they need to run straight in him with their elbows and their knees up and hammer into him all day. And he needs to make... Last year he made 73 tackles. He needs to make 60-plus tackles again today if the Cowboys are any chance. They need to nullify his running game.
Cooper Cronk, you mentioned, just getting away from this game, there's been reports in the media about what's going to happen to him. Will he retire, most likely? Will he look for a club in Sydney or any clubs that can afford him or they'd go to? But your club, the Sharks, have still been mentioned in dispatches. Are you hearing anything?
No, I'm not, honestly. No, from out of Cronulla, I'm not. Love to have him there. He's a fair player, but no, I don't think he'll be at Cronulla next year. I personally don't know at all, but I think he'll retire. I can't see him playing against the Melbourne Storm, particularly if they win today. But I do think Billy Slater will go around again. I think he's good enough to go again. He's still the best fullback in the game, one of the best players I've ever seen, and such a competitor, so fit, so fast still, got great footwork, reads the game so well, can set up a try better than any fullback in the competition. I think he'll play again.
What about the young guys who are playing? Someone like Curtis Scott, who is a name that nobody's really mentioned for much of the year. He's come in and he's done a brilliant job.
Yeah, he's a great player. He's a Cronulla junior. Unfortunately, we missed out on him. You know, his parents wanted him to get out of the Shire, basically, and get away from it all. So he's down there. He's had a really, really good season. He's a really tough kid, a great player, obviously. But the other one's Will Chambers. I don't like Will Chambers personally that much. I'm happy
You've
to
had some good battles. What's
the worst thing about Will Chambers?
Oh, he's just got a great mouth, isn't he? It's a great one. It's not a bad one. But you know what? I love him as a player because I give him the respect that he doesn't respect anyone else, which is what you want as a player. You don't want him on the field copping stuff from other players and just laying down and copping it and moving on. You want him giving it back and ripping and tearing like he does. So as a player, I've got enormous respect for him. But he's also a real key to this side. He's so tough. The way he brings the ball back for the Melbourne Storms really helps get their set started, and all their backs like that. The other one, Vunivalu, he's as big and strong as any winger in the game, and he gets their set started really well also. But I agree with you. Curtis Scott, great player. Josh Adokar, you know, flat out finding the team, been to three clubs, goes down to Melbourne, being one of the best wingers in the competition. So, and the other one I think is Dale Finucane, as we spoke about earlier. You know, he's just a rock solid player, makes all his tackles, probably won't crack the 100 metres in attack, but what he does, he just does well and effectively, and he does the job for the team, which is all that Craig Bellamy wants as a player.
He's unsung, Dale Finucane. He doesn't get a lot of raps away from the Melbourne Storm and inside their four walls. But, look, he's played a little bit of representative football for country. I reckon if he goes out and does play really strongly tonight, then I do think there has been some talk, Al, that he is a chance of forcing his way into that squad. I know Australia has a wealth of back rowers, but this time of the year, lasting impressions always count, Tone, and you often see the team that wins the grand final ultimately gets a lot of players into the green and gold setup. So it's a World Cup year. It'll be a great honour.
And you look at the incumbent lock for Australia is Trent Merrin.
Trent Merrin, he's now injured. He's out of the World Cup.
You know, wouldn't say by his stand had a good year at all. So there's certainly an opening there for that position. If he has a good game today, no reason why he can't force his way into the side. I'll tell you the bloke I like, though, Kafusi. Kafusi. Yeah. He's a bit of an unsung hero as well.
Absolutely.
He beat us at Cronulla. We're winning the game with 3 or 4 minutes to go, and he hit this hole and ran 30 metres. And I've seen him do it 3 or 4 times throughout the year. He is a real good young player.
They've got a big pack, the Storm. Do you expect, obviously, this has gone out of the game? Will it be intense in terms of the argy-bargy? Is any you likely see any?
There'll be no argy-bargy. There'll be no pushing and shoving or carrying on. No punches thrown, obviously. So I think it'll be a good, tough battle through the middle. And, look, whoever wins that battle, it's going to go a long way to winning the game, without a doubt. I think the kicking game from both sides almost nullify each other out because they're both so good. I think who wins that battle in the middle is going to go a long way to winning the game. And we know how good the Melbourne defence is. So for these Cowboys, they have to run as hard and as straight as they can, and they need to pick out one player. They can't be running to 2 or 3 defenders because they will just get wrestled. But if they can pick out one player, run as hard as they can into him, force their way, force their nose for the line, as we say, land on their stomach, get a quick play the ball, Now, it'll go a long way for them to be in the game.
Are they the best forward pack in the comp, Gal? They're absolute monsters, the Melbourne Storm. You look at the front row, Jordan McLean, Jesse Bromwich is a test prop for the Kiwis, and then you've got that biggest Sofa Solomona coming off the bench. Like, yeah. There's not really any weak links anywhere.
Nah, he's the biggest man I've ever seen. I think I've ever played against the Sofa Solomona. He's huge, but... well, look, they're great, but the thing about Melbourne, you can't give them more ball than they deserve. They start getting back-to-back sets of six when Solomona and McLean and Bromwich are all on the field together. They grow another leg. But if you make them defend two or three back-to-back sets, so for Solomona, they can get a little bit sloppy around the middle because they are so big, and that's what the Cowboys need to do, control possession, which they do really well, and look for repeat sets of six. And if they do that and wear that big Storm pack out in the middle, and then try to go through them, as I said, they may get a couple of tries, but look, I just think the Melbourne Storm are going to be too good.
And tactically, Bellamy v Green?
Oh, look, I don't think, look, they've both got the game plans, obviously, and they're done. It's up to the boys to go and execute it. I mean, that's not too much of a battle for me or too much of an issue. You know, they go behind, about their business behind closed doors, coach this team as to the game plan they want to go out and get them to implement, and the team who does that the best is going to win the game today. I just think Melbourne have the best players in the most important positions today. They're coming off the back of last year's loss, which is, gives them huge motivation. I just think the Cowboys, they will be probably not satisfied, but they'll be very happy with the fact they've even made a grand final this year, given all the problems that they've had. And I just think that gives Melbourne huge motivation for today.
And a year on, where will you be watching the grand final?
A year on, next year I'm hoping I'll be out there.
I'm talking a year on from
a couple
last year.
Yes. A year on, I'll be in the Triple M box.
You'll be in the Triple M box.
I certainly will, unfortunately. I mean, I love Triple M, obviously, and I love being there, but...
you'll be watching.
I said a couple of times today, I'll be do anything to get out there and play. Honestly, it's the best day of your life. And all you footy players listening at home, you haven't played in the grand final, you need to get to one.
And if you're a fan and you haven't been to the grand final, you need to get to one as well. Thank you so much, Paul Gallen. Enjoy the game as much as you can.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Hoops. And
cheers,
thank
mate.
You to all the people who gathered here. Get in and enjoy a great game of rugby league. It is the grand final. The Melbourne Storm taking on the Cowboys as Triple M rocks the grand final.
Triple M rocks the NRL. Club Dryden's lawyers. Protecting your future.